Trust you've all had a good Christmas, and after a couple of days off, I feel like we all should take a collective stretch and yawn, because some of you are already participating in that activity anyway. So I have my work cut out for me, but we're going to have some good time together. We are at a unique time, as we've just 2 days ago celebrated our Christmas observance. And as we look into God's Word, what we typically do in toward the end of the year, either the last Sunday of the old year or the first Sunday of the new year, it's been our tradition for some time to devote a message to God's Word. And we're going to try to use the Christmas story to kind of bridge into that if we can. You know, when Matthew records the Christmas story, as we call it, he records primarily Matthew records it from Joseph's point of view. It's basically Joseph's story. As Luke records the story, it's basically from Mary's point of view. Mark does not include the Christmas story in his gospel. He basically just goes into the public ministry of Christ, beginning with Jesus' baptism by John. And then you have the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John. I'm going to read a few verses to you, just kind of, as I said, to form a bridge to where we're going this morning. But John basically tells the Christmas story from God's point of view. It's a very doctrinal, very theological, very deep, into the mind of God conversation. And he begins it this way in 1:1, Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He uses a very particular term to describe Christ. There's no doubt that he's referring to Christ, that this references Jesus, but he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it was this Word that became flesh and lived among us, dwelled among us. You see, what God is trying to communicate is exactly that, that in the coming of Christ, He is trying to communicate with us and to explain and to help us understand who God is. Christ entered in His incarnation into a human form. You want to know what God was if you were alive in that day? As Mary and Joseph encountered Jesus, as the apostles encountered Jesus, as those who were healed or heard Him preach encountered Jesus. You want to know what God was like? Then you look at Jesus. Here was the living, perfect example, communication, Word of what God is like. And it tells us something about His mission, where John writes in verse 12, and as many as received Him, to them, that's those who received Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. It's all about having a relationship with God, overcoming the problem of sin, and being right with God through this one given, this Word given, through Jesus given, through Christ given. And he concludes that verse, to those who believe in His name. The first use of the word believe in the Gospel of John, but it is certainly not the last use of that term in the Gospel of John. In fact, that's one of John's favorite words, where he talks about believe, believe, believe. He later, in summing his book, he says, these are written that you may believe that Christ is the Son of God. That was his point. And it's our point as well, that you might believe that Christ is the Son of God. But what of us, who live in a day in which we do not have Christ in the first person as Mary and Joseph and all those others did? What about us? Where do we see what God is like? Well, God has given us His Word, not in the person of Jesus Christ, but God has given us the Word in the pages of this book that we hold dear. And as I said earlier, it's kind of our custom to talk about the Word of God and kind of set our focus on the Word of God as we begin a new year. So The Christ given the word, and now we're going to spend a few moments looking really at just one single verse at God's word from the point of view that it is all purpose. I have with me today a device not unknown to some of you. This is your traditional Swiss Army knife. Did anyone get one for Christmas? I heard a couple that got one for Christmas this year. Actually, the origination of this began all the way back in 1891 when a man by the name of Carl Elsner, who was Swiss, and he was a manufacturer of surgical instruments, so he was in this sort of business, and he found out that the army, the Swiss Army knives that were provided for the army, were made in Germany. They should be made in Switzerland. So he set out to design the better knife. 4 years later, he came out with the first version of what we now know as the Swiss Army knife. And he created this spring-loaded pivot thing where you have all these different blades that come out. They really became popular in World War II when they were available in Europe for army, our troops over there, and kind of became popular in America, and now we know them. So you have really everything you need. I mean, you know, MacGyver with that and duct tape could rule the world, right? You know, just that's all you need, everything you need there. But that's not so. You can even do better. You can get the deluxe model of the Swiss Army knife with even more stuff on it. In the day in which we live, you got to have something for everybody. There's also the designer version of the Swiss Army knife. You ladies might like that one in your purse. I don't know. And since the biggest consumer of Swiss Army knives are people here in the United States, they've come out with the patriotic version for us who live in the United States. And you see that one. And this one is very unique. I found this. I've actually seen these in real life. But, you know, if you don't want to carry this bulky thing around your pocket, we have the compact version. And all those tools slide into a little thing the size of a credit card. And you just put that in your wallet. And you have everything you need at all times, right? If you run out of money, you got the tools to do whatever you need to do, right? You got it right there in your wallet. Since this is the high-tech world, we have this version. That is a real knife. That is not Photoshopped where you can just, flip open your USB drive and plug your Swiss Army knife right into your computer. Why not? Now, for the person who has everything, I submit to you this. This is known as the Winger Giant. It is 9 inches thick, has 85 tools, more than 100 uses, weighs nearly 3 pounds, and interestingly enough, they advertise it. It's got a nice little ring to hang it on your belt. So, as if that would work. And if you have $1,400 and you want to show someone you love them, you can buy them this particular knife. It is available online around the world. But I say that to say this. You know, we think things like this are all-purpose. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and you're going to find out that there is something that is even more all-purpose than your biggest Swiss Army knife, and that is the Word of God. It is all-purpose for every issue of life. Every area of life. It works. It works. And we begin with this idea as you're turning there. Here's our response. Here's our worship response this morning. And this hopefully will give us some focus as we look into the new year. We should be devoted to God's Word since it is an all-purpose resource for our lives. We should be devoted to God's Word since it's an all-purpose. It works. Whatever the issue, whatever is going on in your life, the Word of God can touch on it. And that's what we want to look at this morning. I want to read verses 16 and 17 because they do fit together. But primarily, we're going to look at verse 16 for our study this morning. Now the Word, the written Word of God, to those of us who are the recipients of the living Word of God, Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're going to break this down into three sections just to drive home this idea that we should be devoted to God's Word because it is an all-purpose resource in life. How do we know it's an all-purpose resource in life? How do we know that it works? How can we be assured of that or reassured of that? First of all, God's Word is perfect. That's what he's talking about in this phrase, in this verse. God's Word is perfect. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, comma. We'll stop there for a moment. And I want you, if you have a Bible at your disposal this morning, I want you just to look at that. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And basically what God is declaring is, the reason we should be devoted to this book is because this word is perfection. Have you figured this one out? There is not too much you and I can get our hands on in today's world that we could put the words perfection or perfect with. And if it is perfect, by some definition, it won't remain perfect for long. Someday it will be hauled off to the dump or off to the junkyard or whatever. It doesn't last. But this truly is God's perfect gift to you. How do we know that? Well, first of all, we see that it is perfectly delivered. It is perfectly delivered. And where it says all Scripture, now that refers to all that is inspired by God, all that is the Scriptures, the Old and New Testament, what is bound here in front of us. And I want you to focus on the verb there, is given. And notice the little word is. We usually don't call attention to such what we think are insignificant words, but there are no insignificant words in God's Word. The Greek has, in their tenses of verbs, they actually have at least one tense, maybe two, that are beyond our English understandings of past, present, future, and so forth. But this is the Greek present. The verb is in that form. The Greek had this idea in that original language in which the Bible was written and now translated, fortunately, into our native tongue of English and others. It has the idea of it is always continually active in the present. Whatever is described in the present, it means it always is, and it is always active, and it is always relevant. So what he is saying here, he says, this which is placed in our hands has been perfectly delivered, is given, and it is always appropriate. It is given. It is a gift. It is presented to us. Probably in most of our experiences, there's been some gift giving in the last few days. And we've enjoyed that. We enjoy giving. We enjoy receiving. Now we have to figure out where to put all that stuff and how to take back what doesn't fit or whatever and all of those sorts of things. But we know what gifts are. Here's God's gift to us. I want to give you something perfect. And what I have delivered to you that we can interact with is this word. You and I should be devoted to this all-purpose resource because it is, first of all, it is perfectly given. Think about what you have in your hands. What an amazing book this is. There is no other. There is no rival. There is no other book that could even come close to the reality of this book. It was written over a period of 1,500 years, more or less. Written by approximately 40 different authors. Writing in three different languages. It now contains 66 books bound into one book. In its present form, about 1900, close to 2000 years now, it has been gathered together and after the end of the New Testament was finally written and gathered. The Old Testament scriptures go back much older than that, obviously. Bound together, and he's delivered us a book that is the all-time bestseller of any book ever printed, translated into more languages than any book that's ever been written. Affected more people and changed more lives and frankly changed more history than anything, any other written document known to mankind. And more importantly than that, I submit to you that what it says of itself is it authenticates itself, that it is perfect, a perfect product of God, and it is given to you. And it's been put into our hands. And think about it, you and I have access to what God wants to say to us. It's not far and distant. You don't have to climb some mountain in the Himalayas to find some mystic to tell us God's truth. We don't have to go through some ritual or through some sacrifice or self-depriving ourselves of something. But simply all we have to do is open this message and read it in our own language. And this is a gift that's God given, perfectly delivered. The skeptics have tried to refute it. People have tried to censor it. People have tried to ban it. People have burned it. But for the most part, all who have tried that in human history, they are gone, this remains. You know why? Because Jesus said it this way. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will always be here. And God has given you this gift. It's a perfect gift. Not only is it perfectly delivered, it is perfectly produced. That's the little phrase where it says, it is given by inspiration of God. Now we need to zero in on what those words mean. By inspiration of God. It is perfectly produced. The word inspiration, this is the best way I know to tell you what that word means. Here's what that word means. It means, whew, it means to breathe out. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says the best way I can describe this product of him producing the Scriptures is God breathed it out. It was the product of his mind, and coming from the depths of his being in picture form, it comes from the depths of his heart to speak to us. It is God breathed. It is inspired. Everything you read on every page is a direct product from God's very own mind and heart. Now, we understand he used human authors. We understand that those authors wrote in their own style, with their own experience, with their own vocabularies, yes. But God saw to it that the end product that was produced was ultimately his work. A verse you might want to write down for future reference or future study is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1, 21. Julie and I were having our devotion, opened our devotional book this morning. This was the passage that we read, interestingly enough. I guess God wanted me to really to hear it, you know. But it says that the holy men of God, the men who were used to pen the Word of God, were moved along, borne along by the Spirit of God. And God so superintended their activities and their putting on page that what we have is a perfectly produced book. It is God-breathed from His own actions, His own art. It came from God to men who wrote it. This means that God so directed the human authors of Scripture that using their individual interests and literary styles, His complete thought for man is recorded for us without error. There's two theological words. I'll just throw them out as you hear them on occasion, and it might be a good opportunity to talk about them. And it really finds its basis in Scripture such as this, primarily this. First of all, the result of what is perfectly produced, we call it that this book is inerrant. Inerrant. It is without error. That's what that means. There are no errors in it. It is an accurate record of everything it talks about. Now, we understand some sections of God's Word are symbolic, and we understand there are some that are literal, and some that are symbolic. But when it talks, whatever it talks about, it's an accurate record of what it's talking about. It's without error. Well, how can that be? How can any book be without any error? It can only be if God is superintending the process. And this verse declares of itself that it is God-breathed. It is also infallible. That's another theological word we throw around. It means it is a reliable guide. It won't fail. In layman's terms, it won't let you down. You can depend on it. We don't have to worry about the next documentary put on the Discovery Channel that's going to just wreck our faith because it proves the Bible isn't right. It just don't worry about it. It's infallible. As I said, there are those that have tried to attack it. There are those who have tried to disprove it. It's interesting to find out that that has happened throughout all the days of history, from the early days when the Bible was gathered together in these books, and we understood that this was God's message to us. You ever heard of the Hittites? The Hittites were a people group that you find referenced over in the Old Testament. You remember all the Jebusites and the Amalekites and all those ites. You know, one of them was the Hittites. Up through the 1800s, there was the skeptics said, "Oh, the Bible can't be true. We've never found anywhere in human history anyone called the Hittites. If they were this big people group and they were this nation, this empire, whatever, surely we'd have dug up something that says something about the Hittites." So the Bible, obviously, if research doesn't prove it, then the immediate perception is, well, the Bible must be wrong. Until in the late 1800s, we started digging in the right places, particularly in Turkey, and the archaeologist spade turns over. Guess what? We find a whole civilization called Hittite culture. And they had writing and stuff that's recorded. It's amazing! Well, we missed that one. Prior to 1945, really going back further because nuclear theory was starting to develop even before that, but it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter uses the phrase when he says the world is going to be destroyed, he says the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. The Bible was ridiculed. How can the elements, because that's what an element means, it's the undivisible, undividable stuff of matter, and the smallest atoms can't be divided any smaller. So obviously Peter was not, he didn't know anything about science, he didn't know what he was talking about. Until one morning in 1945 in Alamogordo, New Mexico, a bomb went off, and suddenly we all know something about, yes, atoms can be further subdivided with great fervent heat and energy. You know, so whatever the skeptics throw at us today, just understand, don't get excited, this word stands true. And may God be found true and every man a liar. This is truth. So it is perfectly produced. It is perfectly delivered. It is, all Scripture is given to us by God, by inspiration, and is profitable for us. We'll come to that in just a moment. I want to give you some suggestions this morning, and you'll just see on your paper there if you're filling in notes that I've just got suggestion in a big long blank. So I can't just put in a simple word you copy off the screen. Okay, you got to write this out somehow. But I want to give you some suggestions. If we're really devoted to God's word, and if we're really responded to the perfect word given to us, what are some things we could do? What's some practical things? What's some suggestions we could take? Suggestion number one for weekly study. What should we do weekly? Well, first of all, I want to commend you for coming this morning. All right. We've probably all overeaten a little bit, or at least we've had access to plenty of food, and you know we're kind of in this downtime, and it's the season of relaxing a little bit. And some of you aren't believing that, but maybe you've had a busy few days. I don't know, but you came to start this new week, even in the holiday season. God bless you. But you know what? This should be the priority, I believe, for all of us. That if God gives us the ability and the freedom and the health, that the first real big appointment of our week should be to show up with God's people. Yeah, we worship. Yes, we sing. We enjoy our fellowship with other people. But primarily, we need a word from God delivered by one of God's servants. Part of your weekly routine should be what you're doing right now. And April of 2010, if Christ should tarry, Bible Center Church will have completed its 67th year of ministry. And fortunately, we have had those that have filled this pulpit that have believed in the inerrancy and the infallibility and the authority of Scripture and have sought to deliver it without compromise every time we gather together. And that's our commitment to you, that we would come weekly for this study. Let me just tell you what we're going to start next week, all right? I'm not above commercial, so here it is. All right? For the five Sundays, or if we have snow or some other schedule change, it might be a little different. But at least in January, we're going to do a study we're entitling Family Survival Kit. We're going to look at those passages of Scripture that deal with what it says about family. And whoever you are, you're part of a family. You know, no matter how you evaluate your family, its function or dysfunction, or how you are. I mean, you're part of a family, all right? You are someone's child, you're someone's parent, you're someone's brother, you're someone's sister. You're someone's spouse, you're someone's cousin, we all have a family of some sort or another. And it's interesting, God is not bashful to talk on the subject. And we're going to have some great time studying together, and I think a great way to start the new year is that study. And whatever comes after that, we'll see what God does. But nonetheless, this should be our commitment, this should be our priority. Not only is God's Word perfect, I want you to look at the next phrase. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That's very easy to understand where we're going. God's word is profitable. Profitable. The word here translated profitable can be translated helpful, useful, serviceable, advantageous, beneficial. It's good for you. That's what he's saying. It is good for all these things. This is good stuff. Now, I want you to notice, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and, there's the word again, is profitable. There's another is. Also in the present tense. It is always profitable. It is always this way. We'll say it this way. It will never go out of date. It will never go out of date. It is profitable because it will never go out of date. The fact that it won't go out of date is remarkable because most things go out of date. Have you figured this out? You know, something written in a particular time or a particular era, and you read it in another era and time, it doesn't make sense. Let me take you back about 50 years. And if you were thumbing through a magazine 50 years ago, you would actually see this ad on the pages of a magazine. Does that seem a little out of date today? And for those of you that are listening rather than seeing this, it's in a magazine article that has the caption, "More doctors smoke Camel than any other cigarette." Seems a little out of date. I mean, first of all, it's illegal to run an ad like that in a magazine today because of legal requirements. And so forth. And I just happen to suspect that I don't think any physician today would have his face put on a thing saying, "My favorite cigarette is a Camel." I just, 50 years ago, probably we wouldn't have thought anything, but we didn't really know that it could be as damaging to our health as some of the things we've learned. Here's the great thing about God's Word. It never goes out of date. It never goes out of date. It is always up to date. It always works. It will never go out of date. It will always go up in value as well. It will always go up in value. That's that word profitable. It is profitable. It is profitable for all these things, and we'll look at that in just a moment about the specific things. But I want you to just think of that word profitable. It goes up in value. It is valuable for all the areas of life. You think about all the ministries we have at Bible Center, no matter the age. Right downstairs, right under our feet, the children are having their base camp, we call it ministry right now. We've invested a lot in that area. We have a great team put together so that these children downstairs can be learning the Word of God. It works for them. It's profitable for them. We believe it's profitable for our teens. Over at our Oakhurst campus where we used to worship on Sundays, there is in that place now a teen center in that old auditorium. If you've not been there, it will look different than the last time if you were there when there were pews in there. It looks a lot different now. But it's used. We invest in that for teen ministry because our teens need to hear the Word of God and be taught it, and we strive hard to do that. For our adults, there are Bible fellowships going on this hour. In this service, you could come an extra hour and study in a small group and then come to worship in this hour. And we have small groups, and we have groups for all different areas of life. And through our missions program, we send our missionaries around the world to different ethnic groups, having to take this word and then translate it into language of the people they're speaking to, because this is all-powerful, and we believe it is profitable for all people. It works when you have a question. It works when you want to know where you've come from or why you're here or where you're going. It works when you want to know why there's evil in the world and if there's hope of redemption for this world. It works when you want to have questions about how to raise your kid or to improve your marriage or handle your finances or improve your relationships. It explains the obvious. It expounds the unknowable. It gives us a perfect perspective on history past, and it does not blush to tell us about history yet to be fulfilled in its prophetic sections. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain by being a student of this book, because God promises if you do, you will profit by it. You will profit by it. You will be better for it. And here's the thing. The more you access it, the more you gain. The more you access it, the more you gain in your life. Well, let's give you another suggestion. Suggestion number two. And you'll have to fill in the blank here on suggestion number two. But we talked about the weekly study. Let's talk about daily study for just a moment. Just as it would be wouldn't be good for our health to eat one big meal on Sunday and not eat anything else again till next Sunday. No matter how big a meal you eat today, it's probably not the best way to have proper nutrition coming into our bodies. You might get a big meal today in your Bible fellowship class or through the message delivered from the pulpit, but you know what? We need to feed on God's Word more than that. And here's a couple of suggestions, actually three I want to give you. One we just provide to you when you come. One is the Take 5 sheets you see in your bulletin. Our pastors spend a lot of time and effort writing these, and there's a lot of effort goes into producing these, so that you can have right at your fingertips for at least 5 out of the 7 days of this week some devotional material, some Bible study material. We oftentimes try to key this with the Bible study that's going on Sunday morning. Sometimes it doesn't always work quite that tightly, but that's kind of one of the goals if we can pull it off. We also have the little daily bread devotional. Some of you have used these for years. We have them in the lobby every quarter when the new issue comes out. They last for 3 months, and it gives you a Bible reading and some devotional thoughts and that sort of thing. I would encourage you to use them because you need to feed daily. There's another one for those of you that are in the online world and you do email or you got your iPhone or your smartphone or whatever it is, or you're into podcasting. I want you to write down this this web address, todayintheword.com. todayintheword.com. It's the ministry of Moody Bible Institute. You can get this devotional delivered in book form, and Julie and I have used this for several years for our devotional time together as husband and wife. It really takes you a step deeper into Bible study than the Take 5 or the Daily Bread. If you're ready to do something a little deeper, this will be a good thing for you. The great thing is you can also, if you don't like print version, you can sign up. It'll deliver the devotional right to your email box every single day. So whenever you open your email, it'll nag you to spend some time with God and in His Word, all right? You can have it delivered as an audio podcast and hear the great baritone voice of Mike Kellogg reading it to you. If you want to do it, you know, there's no excuse. It can be delivered right to you. But it's a great daily way to do some Bible study that'll take you a step deeper. Or maybe you found some other method. Or you have something else you do. If it's working for you, God bless you. Just do it. The important thing is, if God has delivered us a perfect message and God has delivered us a profitable message, you and I need to be devoted to it, not only weekly, but on a daily basis, so that we will profit and we'll gain by it. Now, God's word is profitable. It is perfect. And thirdly, this last little section we see here, God's word is practical. God's Word is practical. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, and here's the categories, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is practical. First of all, it shows us what to believe. It is practical to show us what to believe. That's that first phrase. It is profitable for what? For doctrine, literally teaching. You want to know what to believe, what is true, what is real, what is right? Where do you get it from? All Scripture is given by God's breath and is profitable for this. This should teach us what we should believe. And the great thing is, as I said earlier, we have the source document right in front of us. There's nothing wrong with learning from other people. Obviously, I'm a practitioner of the art, so I understand that. But we need to be careful that our whole doctrinal, teaching, theological, spiritual basis doesn't come from Dr. Somebody and author so-and-so. We need to open the Bible for ourselves and get the first-hand information from here. And any teacher of the Bible is not offended, but rather honored if you would open the Bible and make sure that what he is teaching lines up with chapter and verse. Because this is it. This determines what is right and wrong in what we believe. You want to know what to believe? You want to know how to think? You want to reorder your thoughts? You want to reprogram your whole thought life? Let your mind be filled with God's Word and it will work. It's profitable for that. It's not only profitable to show us what to believe, it is profitable to show us where we are wrong. Ouch. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, literally rebuke, to show us where we're wrong. You ever gone to the doctor and said something hurts? I don't know what they teach you guys in medical school, but invariably you start poking wherever it hurts, you know. Does this hurt? Yeah, that hurts. That happened to me recently. Well, and that's because he has to find out what's not working to be able to put you on a course of action to make it better. But God's Word does the same thing. It's powerful for rebuke, reproof. It sometimes probes deep into our souls and finds the area that really needs to change, and sometimes, it's a little painful. By the way, if you don't regularly in your Bible study have moments of ouch, you probably really aren't paying attention. You really aren't paying attention. And, you know, sometimes a lot of people will come even after I've taught the Word of God, oh, thank you, Pastor, that was great, I enjoyed that. Well, I'm glad you enjoy it. Every once in a while, you know, an ouch is okay. Because usually I've had lots of ouches studying it before I ever get here, you know, because I understand when I stand before God's Word, Lord, I'm a work in progress. I fall so short. I want to gain. I want to grow. I want to profit. I want to be different. I want to be always on the growing edge. And it has that effect. It shows us we're wrong. If we never see where we're wrong, we will never take corrective action. It's as simple as that. Not only that, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. That's making right what you discover is wrong. It will give you the tools you need to fix what is wrong with God's help. The word correction there is literally the same term of a physician setting a broken bone. A bone that's broken, if it's going to heal properly, has to be set back into its proper alignment, its proper place. God's Word is in the business, and God through His Word is in the business of taking the broken, battered lives that we are and setting them back in place and putting us on a path towards healing and completeness and usefulness. That's what verse 17 is all about. It's profitable for that. You need to get back on the right path. God's Word is profitable for you for correction. You feel like you've strayed away. You're in a place you don't know how you got there and you don't know how to get back. God's Word is profitable for correction to help you get back to where you need to be or get to where you need to be if you've never been there. As simple as that. It's profitable to show us what to believe, where we're wrong, to show us how to change. That's the next one, so you can get that on your sheet. I will now pause a moment because I didn't allow you enough time to write that down. Okay. To show us how to change, and then lastly, to show us how to live. To show us how to live. And that's the last phrase you see in verse 16. For instruction in righteousness. The Greek word translated instruction is paideia. It's the same word you find in Ephesians where it talks about bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's the training and the nurture of the Lord. It really means discipline. The picture you want to have is of a guy with a baseball cap, a sweatshirt, and a whistle hanging around his neck. It's the coach imagery. It's to that which trains us in the basics of living and disciplines us to practice living in a way that God approves. WVU's going to be in the Gator Bowl, I hear. Have you heard that rumor? I know they've been practicing. I've been kind of following what they've been doing in preparations. And one of the things I guarantee you they've been doing is practicing the basics. Well, why? We're this far in the season. We played all these games. We've got one game to go. Why are we practicing the basics? Because you've got to practice the basics if you're going to be successful on the sports field. Years ago, when I was 25 years ago or so, when I first started preaching, as a young preacher, you'd come to the pulpit and you would think, I got to have something new and novel to share, you know. If I could just come up with some grand theological concept that no one's ever thought of before and deliver it to my people. Yeah, like that's going to happen. Not going to happen. And sometimes you feel like, I feel like I'm saying the same thing every Sunday, again and again and again and again. And then finally I realized that's what Paideia is all about. Part of the shepherd's role is to help people with the basics and to keep working the basics and going over the basics again and again and again to the point that we do it without thought. We do it with it's just second nature to us that we do what God wants us to be. That's instruction in righteousness. This book is infinitely practical to every area of life to teach us how to live, how to change, how to know where we're wrong, what to believe. And it helps us, as it says in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, literally mature, grown up. Be a mature believer in Christ, a follower of Christ, thoroughly equipped to do what? Every good work. And then we are equipped to go out and make a difference in this world. To go out to those that are battered and broken and help them hear the message of this book and hear that Jesus saves and hear that God loves them and God wants to take their battered, broken lives and correct them and set them and bring healing to them, so that they too can be useful for His glory. So that mankind can fulfill His purpose, a purpose which is directed by God and a purpose which is to bring glory to God. That I am living for Him, not for me. I am serving others, not seeking service for myself. That's the goal. That's the goal. I've given you a suggestion about weekly and daily. Let's talk about intense study for suggestion number three. There are times when it's important just to get, zero in on something you need in life and intensely study. Go a step deeper. Take a step further. For most of Bible Center's 60-plus years of history, we have offered more deep studies, if you want to say it that way. It used to be called the Bible Training Institute. We used to call it our Bible Institute. Now we call it Life University. We do it on Wednesday nights. The next session is beginning on January 6th. And I want to just encourage you to, if you've been taking part in that, look at that. There's a sheet in your bulletin that tells you what the lineup is and be praying about what God would lead you. And if you've never done that on a Wednesday night, maybe this would be a good way to start the new year. Just take a step and get involved in a little more intense Bible study. We have a unique opportunity this year partnering with Appalachian Bible College that three of the classes, you can take them just like normal, any of the six, but three of them, if you do a little extra work, some paper and a final exam and so forth, and there is a fee, very modest fee, frankly, for the school, you can earn college credit for three of those classes. Or if you're in a profession that you need continuing education units and this would fulfill that requirement, for an even lesser fee, you can take those three courses for a CEU. But irregardless, some great opportunities to intensely study God's Word. So whether it's in the intensity of a classroom study, or it's in the privateness of your own home in a daily study, or it's in a worship setting of like we're in this morning, God's Word is an all-purpose resource, better than any Swiss Army knife you're going to get a hold of. It's practical, it is perfect, it is profitable, and it's a resource for you. We arrive at this question that you need to answer and I need to answer. Yeah, we understand this is what God has taught us, and hopefully we've given you the information from God's Word. Hopefully we've given you some motivation from God's Word. But here's the question as we stand on the cusp of a new year, how will you use God's Word this year? How will you use God's Word in this new year? And I just trust that all of us, maybe right now, can set our sights that we are going to take another step to be devoted to this book and study it and profit by it and enjoy the perfect gift God has given us. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, being the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Thank you that you have spoken to us through the Word of God, which we hold in our hands, a precious gift from you that is perfect, that is so profitable for all these practical areas of our lives. But Lord, we understand that we'll only profit as we interact with it. We'll only profit as we are devoted to it. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to set our sights at this moment to be students of the Word of God. And not just students that engage it with our heads, but Lord, that students that open our hearts to let you change us. Help us in that, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.